Welcome to Prism Bible, where we learn the Bible so we can live the story. God has a part for each of us to play, and to understand our purpose, we need to grasp the big, beautiful story that's unfolding in history. Join us today as we see the end of the Bible. Jesus has returned to planet Earth, and he reigns as king in a new garden city, surrounded by all those who have life, only because of him. You're listening to Prism Bible. Outside of death and resurrection, a key theme that pops out of Bible prophecy is the faithfulness of God to his promises. The fact that God is always good on his promises and will not leave one of them unfulfilled. This is an important theme, especially as we consider the necessity of faith itself throughout the whole Bible. Faith is always forward-looking. It's forward-looking because it's looking toward the fulfillment of promises. Faith looks forward to fulfillment. Think about Abraham's faith that we have spoken so much about. Remember, Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness, and his faith was an expression of trust in God's fulfillment of his promises to Abraham. In his context, it was specifically God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many, many seed. Abraham believed God was good for his word, and Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Now think about all of God's other promises, specifically those to David and the Davidic covenant. God promised David a throne in Jerusalem, a dynasty of seed that would rule from that throne, and an everlasting kingdom that would be ruled by a particular seed forever. So far in the Bible story, we haven't seen the fulfillment of this promise. Despite seeing many of David's offspring rule as kings in Jerusalem, all of them died. There hasn't yet been an offspring of David that has ruled forever on David's throne in Jerusalem. And yet, in the person of Jesus, we've been introduced to the king who will reign. Jesus, the God-man, who came first to make an atonement covering for sin, is coming again to be king in Jerusalem. With this in mind, it's important to note that as believers have faith in Jesus, they're not only looking backward at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, they're also looking forward to that time when Jesus comes to fulfill the promises to David. That time when the King of the universe reigns specifically on David's throne in Jerusalem. God is good for his promises, and we're awaiting this one to be fulfilled. Sometime soon, Jesus will come back to rule. After believers are caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds and go into heaven with him, after the 7-year tribulation where the earth experiences calamity and plagues like never before, after all this, Jesus finally returns in power and glory to the earth. With the armies of heaven, Jesus comes to defeat all of Satan's powers arrayed against Israel in a final push to defeat them. Jesus, after being patient with his enemies, after giving all opportunities for humans to be saved through faith in him, he finally returns with a vengeance. Satan's armies don't stand a chance. And so, Satan is defeated. But he's not destroyed. In fact, listen to what happens to him from the Apostle John, who's witnessing these future events in a vision. He says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key to the abyss, holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss, shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he could not deceive the nations until 1,000 years were complete. After that, he must be released for a brief period of time." Satan is confined to prison by an angel for 1,000 years, during which the earth experiences an age unprecedented in blessing, prosperity, and peace. Soon we see not only the Davidic covenant fulfilled, but also the ultimate fulfillment of the Abrahamic and New Covenants. The culmination of God's promises is here, in what is called the Messianic Kingdom. So let's briefly explore the fulfillment of each of these important covenant promises. First, the Abrahamic Covenant. The covenant involving land, seed, and blessing to the world. Prior to the Messianic Kingdom, we have seen the seed and blessing components fulfilled. Abraham was the father of nations and had many offspring, and one of those offspring, Jesus, blessed all the nations of the world through the gospel. But never yet have we seen the Israelite nation come to actually possess all of the land promised to Abraham. Here in the Messianic kingdom, we see that finally happen, as Jesus reigns as king over all the territory of Israel. The land, seed, and blessing have all come to pass. Next, the new covenant. Having been inaugurated and initiated by Jesus at that last Passover supper with his disciples, the new covenant had begun but not yet reached its full fruition. Remember, the covenant included this language from the prophet Jeremiah. "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and inscribe it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will each man teach his neighbor or his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins no more." This covenant requires not only that God's law is written on the hearts of Israel, but also that all Israel comes to know the Lord. They won't even have to teach each other about God, because all of them will know God. It's in this Messianic kingdom that we finally see this covenant come to pass, as all the house of Israel sees and knows Jesus their king. Israel's hearts are no longer hardened toward the gospel. Instead, they see their Messiah, and they see him clearly. Finally, the Davidic covenant, the covenant of a throne, a dynasty, and an everlasting kingdom. As we've come to know, the kingdom of Israel had a very rocky period after David. Eventually, the kingdom split, went into exile, and never until very recently in history has ethnic Israel exercised any sovereignty over any area of the land of Canaan. Well, in the Messianic kingdom, we finally see the kingdom of Israel rule by its rightful conquering king. King Jesus, from the lineage of David, finally sits in Jerusalem on David's throne to rule over an everlasting kingdom, both for this 1,000 years and then forevermore. Faith is forward-looking, trusting God that he will indeed fulfill the promises that he's made. And it's in this millennium, this Messianic kingdom, where God's great promises of the Bible finally come to fruition. Faith is finally rewarded with sight. The Messianic kingdom of Jesus will be greater than we could ever imagine. It will be full of peace for the world, peace in the animal kingdom, peace among nations, and justice and righteousness from Jesus himself sitting on the throne. All will be well for 1,000 years until the end. At the end of this wonderful millennium of peace and justice, Satan will be released from his prison to wreak havoc yet again. And with this 1,000 years worth of brooding and planning, you can imagine that he'll desire vengeance for his last defeat. John hears this next. "When the 1,000 years are complete, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, to assemble them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the seashore, and they marched across the broad expanse of the earth and surrounded the camp of the believers at Jerusalem. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire." After this 1,000 years, Satan is able to deceive the nations once again and gather an army of millions. But like a candle is snuffed out by a little pinch, so this big satanic army will be quickly snuffed out by fire from heaven. No battle and no bloodshed. They're simply defeated by fire. After this final rebellion, we finally come to see the second resurrection. Remember, the first resurrection was started by Jesus and culminated with the resurrection of all believers. Well, this second resurrection is of a more somber tone. It's a resurrection of those who did not believe in Jesus. A resurrection where each is judged in front of God, who is seated on a great white throne. Each is judged by his own works, and each is proven not to measure up to the righteousness of God. John describes it like this. "Then I saw a great white throne and the one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled away from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. and there were open books, and one of them was the Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their deeds, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead. And each one was judged according to his deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was found whose name was not written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is an event that no human should want to be a part of. This second resurrection, followed by the second death, the final, permanent separation of each person from God. Each is thrown into the lake of fire, a place of torment. This is a destination from which one cannot escape, a destination of suffering. But this somber event isn't the end of the story. No, because the end of the story is bliss. Listen to what John witnesses next. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away." And later John sees this. I saw no temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb Jesus are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, because the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its lamp. By its light the nations will walk, and into it the kings of the earth will bring their glory. Its gates will never be shut at the end of the day, because there will be no night there. And into the city will be brought the glory and the honor of the nations. Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the main street of the city. On either side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit and yielding a fresh crop for each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be within the city, and his servants will worship him. And there will be no more night in the city, and they will have no need for the light of a lamp or of the sun. For the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. A garden city, with the river of the water of life and the tree of life free to eat from again. A new Jerusalem with no temple at its center, but God at its center. An eternal state, with God finally reigning over heaven and earth, with no more curse, no more death, no more crying, and no more pain. The old earth and heaven has passed away, and the newness has come. For every believer, from every generation, faith is counted as righteousness, and God walks with his people again in his new garden. Righteous Abel the martyr, righteous Noah the blameless, righteous Abraham the faithful, righteous Moses the friend of God, righteous Joshua the warrior, righteous Rahab the purified, righteous David the valiant, righteous Josiah the reviver, righteous Daniel the courageous, righteous Ezra the leader, righteous Mary the blessed, righteous Peter the rock, righteous Paul the humble, righteous John the evangelist. And if you believe in Jesus, righteous you, the Christian, made righteous by the one and only Savior King, Jesus.
Don't forget to download the Prism Bible app, our mobile app to help you learn the Bible. In addition to this podcast content, we have Bible readings, summaries, and quiz questions on the app to help you get the most out of every lesson. Prism Bible is a project of the Bible Literacy Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to helping you learn the Bible.